just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises.
Back here on Downtown, it's 4:42 on a Tuesday afternoon, and time for A Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us this afternoon, and not that many songs about boxes. The best I could come up with, Eric, was with a boxer.
I didn't even make that connection. I was just like, oh, we're talking about Mike Tyson's boxing Jake Paul. God, it is so hard not to just start singing along with that song. I love that song. Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing? I bet you're all doing well, because whatever bracket you filled out has not yet been busted completely.
I am 100% right now. I think I'm like number one in the ESPN rankings.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think the best part for me about filling out a bracket every year is when I get to pick against Colgate. I went to Hamilton, folks. And I'm just saying,
well,
Colgate didn't accept me.
I did pick against Colgate, so I didn't know. I knew I felt good when I did it. Now I know why.
Yeah, I think it's also safe. That's a different story. It gives me great joy. I don't know how they end up in the damn tournament every year, but it's always a pleasure to pick against them. Although I always feel like, you know, it's like, I always feel bad picking against like these down bracket teams. Like, you know, God bless you. You made it. You know, well done. Bully. I always at least try to have my brackets, if not in reality, but my brackets have some fun upsets that would at least put some smiles on the faces of the lesser teams. But I hope everybody's well. As I was explaining to Rich, I have no idea what my notes say for today, because a couple hours ago I had my eyes dilated. I was not prepared for that. And they're like, oh, and today we're doing that? Like, oh, are you? Good.
Did you get the cool sunglasses, the gigantic ones?
I didn't, because I actually happened to have my own sunglasses on, okay. Thank God, because I did have to go out in public after that. And it was one of those, like, I just can't do this. But I always feel awkward going out in public after it, too, because they probably look at me like, oh, opioid abuser, huh? I'm like, no, no, not for a couple decades at this point, but come on. No. No. Anyway, as your song attempted to indicate, yes, we're talking about sort of boxes and shipping and all sorts of stuff today. Again, we're talking this month about how the juice gets to you, folks. And it's increasingly interesting, because this particular segment that has sort of been, you know, regular over the years has really changed a lot over the past couple of years. We'll talk about it, but as I was going over my notes, again, blurrily, but still, I was really struck by how the dynamics have shifted just over the, you know, past, I mean, I guess basically since the beginning of the pandemic. So the tradition of bulk shipments of wine, and the idea of bulk in general, it's a tradition that kind of goes back to the idea of going to your local village co-op and getting something, and you would bring along your own, you know, jug or whatever. The French label it en vrac, but basically in bulk. And that was simply a practical matter at the time, because basically, you know, not a lot of, really, I mean, just to sort of deviate from this, it's important to realize that most winemakers that we know, and like estates, you know, single estates, that wasn't a thing, really. Traditionally, if you were a grape grower, you sold your grapes to the local village co-op or the big local concern. You didn't bottle your own wine. So that's just something to sort of keep in the back of your mind as you talk about this, that the idea of getting a single bottle from a single vineyard anywhere in the world is a fairly new concept in, you know, the idea. And then there are certain regions that were famous. You know, Napoleon liked to get his Nebbiolo from a certain region in Italy and blah, blah, blah. But basically, you were selling and then buying in bulk. And that's just what it was. the producing cost of glass is extraordinarily expensive, and then obviously we'll talk about shipping glass, but also that's extraordinarily expensive because glass is heavy. You need very high temperatures to make it. You need all the raw materials as well. And then you're going to ship those empty bottles, which are still pretty heavy, to the winery. And then the winery is going to fill it with liquid and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what are your options? Well, now we have started to see boxed wine of quality. You've also, and this is sort of where I was going when I was starting to ramble earlier, is that people are starting to use canning and kegging, indeed, as other alternatives for, you know, taking wine in bulk from the winery and getting it into your glass, because all of these things are lighter than glass, and the cost of shipping is extraordinary. But back in the day, this would have been 2014, I was in Beaujolais, in the region of Beaujolais, and I was walking through the winery of a gentleman who had a winery in the region of Moulin-en-Vin, one of the crew villages of Beaujolais. And, you know, his bottled Beaujolais were stuff I knew and carried and loved. But I happened to see boxes, 5-liter boxes. And I said, what are those? And he said, well, they're exactly what you think they are. And I said, well, why aren't they in the States? And he said, well, Americans don't want boxed wine. And I really considered that. I'm like, well, hey, I think we do. But again, now given this dramatic shift towards actually smaller packaging in lighter containers like cans, maybe I was right, maybe I was wrong, because we've kind of shifted away from the boxes, though we still carry them, and there are still really, really wonderful wines being put, you know, into boxes. But it's interesting that that's sort of veered away, and I think a lot of it has to do with the ready-made cocktails that are also in hand these days. But what are the advantages? What are the advantages of not using a bottle? Well, there's no light that infiltrates, which is beneficial. There is also much less oxidization. In the case of like bag-in-box, BIB, there's basically no oxidization because there's basically no extra oxygen in there except for the oxygen sort of trapped in solution. And the other huge advantage, essentially, you know, cost-wise, is that you get 4 bottles worth-ish for about the cost of 2.5. That is how much, you know, glass throws on to the cost of things. Which is why sometimes when I get, you know, bottles from, especially California, I've noticed this a little bit in Argentina, I think, but California winemakers who are trying to present a very ostentatious wine will very often use just ridiculously heavy, thick, big bottles, and you're just like, you know, what are you doing? I don't know who it's impressing, but it doesn't impress me, I'll tell you that. What is sort of the point of this? You're trying to preserve the wine, right? You're trying to protect it without having to go to things like adding a lot of additional sulfites, right? That's something that we had talked about a couple weeks ago. And just to reiterate on sulfites, the more sugar left in solution, so obviously if you're talking about like a Moscato or a sweet Riesling or something, but a lot of wines, you know, they have sugars left in solution, and you want to prevent what's called re-fermentation, right? Because there's still usually a little bit of yeasty bits left, and if it, you know, gets warm or something, it can ruin your wine. So that is why people like the famed Kermit Lynch, the importer, back in the 70s, started exporting wines from varying countries in refrigerated containers, also known as reefers, not reefer madness, but okay, refrigerated containers. But what happened was the costs increased, but the cost of spoilage went way down because the wines were taken care of. And again, that's sort of, again, this sort of shipping in bulk and shipping intelligently. Obviously, at the time, it was still all in glass bottles, but you get the point, is there's been a lot of thought put into getting wine into consumers' hands in the best manner possible with less spoilage, less damage in any way possible, because frankly, I have this private theory, but it's not just mine, that a lot of the people who say they don't like wine have had bad experiences with wine, and there's a lot of reasons, from the trichloroanisole, the TCA, what we call corkage that we talked about last week, to, you know, re-fermentation, to things like that, to what we call cooking. If you've ever had a wine that sort of tastes like it has been sort of stewed, it's very possible that it sat in customs, you know, under hot New Jersey sun for a couple weeks before anyone actually got to it and shipped it out of customs. So there's a lot of things that, thank God, people are putting their minds to, because otherwise we really wouldn't have very good wine here in the States from anywhere else except, like, right down the street. The other thing I just want to kind of hit on really quickly is shipping across state lines. It's important to remember that here in the United States, our laws regarding alcohol are primarily state by state, not federal. So that when people come in and they're like, hey, can you get this shipped to me? My answer is usually I cannot, because of how our state is set up. Different states are all set up differently. We do in Maine have a law where you can, if you are a producer, you can purchase a license to ship directly to consumers here. Some people do, some people don't, depending on the fact that, you know, the license costs a certain amount, and if you can make it financially feasible, they will. If you can't, they can't. Retail stores in other states can't ship to you. That's illegal still, as far as I'm aware, though some have gotten busted trying. So, again, remember that however your wine is getting to you, sometimes it is easier than others. So that's that. Next week, we will touch more on these cans and other new innovations that are happening in the wine world that I find very, very interesting. And so we'll go from there. In the meantime, I hope everybody is well. May your brackets stay intact. And if you don't care about March Madness, just get outside, because it's freaking gorgeous.
There you go. Thanks, Eric. Hey, that was fine. Who needs notes? Who needs to see their notes? You can just do it right off the top of your head.
You Dan Tootin.
Thanks, Eric. We'll see you and see you clearly next week. You got it. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle, every Tuesday right here on Downtown 1410.